And sometimes we say, I can't see God, it's because your eyes broke, that's why. This Portuguese guy pushing his head, oh, sore, doctor, right here. And I push my jaw, oh, the sore. And I push my stomach, oh, the sore right here by the rib. So the doctor thinks, oh, man, this guy's got some problems. And so he does a full body scan on him. And he comes back and he says, hey, I found out why you sore every place you push. How come, doctor, how come?
Well, to find out, you'll have to stay tuned. Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. When we left off yesterday, Pastor Wayne was teaching us the importance of seeing evidence of God's presence all around us. But what happens if you don't feel His presence? What if He seems to be a million miles away? Well, today Pastor Wayne will show us that it is at those times when God is often building a treasure in our hearts. We'll learn more about it in a moment, but first, we invite you to join us for a few minutes of worship with the family of New Hope.
And we are going to be led in worship by the men's ministry. Would you welcome the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? He's here with us today.
Led by our men's ministry at New Hope. Here now is Pastor Wayne Cordero with the conclusion of the message, Seeing and Hearing Again.
But let me give you the third thing that is probably one of the most important in conditioning your eyes to see Christ. Would you write down number three? Cultivate a spirit of gratitude. Cultivate a spirit of gratitude. Folks, listen, I am convinced that God is more concerned about my being grateful than just about anything else. You know why? Because when you're just grateful, when there's a spirit of gratitude that's developed in you, you see God all the time. But watch when you lose a sense of gratefulness. You don't see Him anywhere. He's gone. Oh, He's still close. You just don't recognize Him. Your eyes are gone. And sometimes we say, well, God's gone. No. Your eyes can't see him. It's right here. It's the eyeballs. It's we just don't see him. You know, like that old joke, this Portuguese guy pushing his head. Oh, sore, doctor, right here. And I push my jaw. Oh, the sore. And I push my stomach. Oh, the sore right here by the rib. So the doctor thinks, oh, man, this guy's got some problems. And so he does a full body scan on him. And he comes back and he says, hey, Portuguese, I found out why you sore every place you push. How come, doctor? How come? He said, your finger is broke. And sometimes we say, I can't see God. It's because your eyes broke. That's why. And one of the ways to repair that is to cultivate a spirit of gratitude. But it's not as a response to somebody doing good to you. It's not like someone gives you money. Oh, I'm grateful. Someone gives you something. Oh, I've got a lot of gratitude for you. No. It's not just in response to somebody doing something good. It's apart from that, just develop a spirit of gratitude. It has nothing to do with anything else. Just you, not others. Oh, yeah, I would be more grateful if somebody gave me something and did something for me. No. It's just you. It's a spirit of gratitude. Because you see, if the only time you're grateful is when someone does something good for you, then when they don't, what? Then we just stand around waiting for you to do something good. Then we develop this attitude because nobody does anything for me and no more. And we get all upset. And so we kind of go down in the valley. And when someone does something good for us, then we go back up. The only time we're grateful is when someone does something good for us, then we're going to set us up to be disappointed with a rude awakening. Because the world does, and I know this is going to shock many of you, but the world doesn't revolve around you. Oh, I know. That's no way. Yeah, yes way. Yeah, because there's going to be times that you won't have those niceties coming. But if you've built commitment and you have a heart of gratitude, you'll still see Christ everywhere. But remember, you've got to practice this. Because slipping out of gratitude can happen unintentionally, but getting back will require that it be done intentionally. You've got to work at it. To slip away, unintentional. To get back, very intentional. But it has nothing, again, remember, nothing to do with what people do for you. It's a spirit of gratitude. And that's why 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this. Would you read the next scripture there? Read it out loud. Go. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Would you circle in everything? Not for everything, in everything. Give thanks. You mean even when things don't go my way? Mm-hmm. Especially then. Keep a spirit of gratitude, because things won't go your way. And by the way, here's something that's really important. Sometimes you're going to think, yeah, but I've got a right to not be thankful right now because that person did me wrong and I'm right. And because I'm right, I'm going to take my rights and let them know. You know what happens then? A lot of times when I found, for me anyway, when I hang on to my rights, it doesn't make anything right. It really doesn't. I destroy a relationship. My heart goes bad. And I thought, nah. Because there's times like, say Anna and I are going through something and I think I'm right, usually am, and say she's wrong. Well, if I hang on to my right and let her know, you'll hear God say, and it's going to sound bad English, but he'll say this, keeping that relationship healthy is righter than being right. Keeping a healthy relationship is better than hanging on to my rights because I think I'm right and I need to let you know, so I'm going to fight for it. Who cares? Lay that down. I don't know if it's the older you get or what, but you know what? The older I get, I don't want to die on unimportant hills anymore. And I learned that through consequences. Consequences is a good teacher, rough and tough teacher. But consequences will teach you. But you'll have to go through the problem first and make the mistake, and then consequences reveals to you the lesson. Wisdom is a better teacher. Wisdom will reveal to you the lesson and then let you decide if you want to experience the pain or not. But both are great teachers, but this one I learned through consequences. And we die on too many unimportant hills, and we make a terrible trade. I trade a relationship for me being right. I trade happiness and peace in my marriage so that I can prove that I can do whatever I want to do. It's like a terrible trade, but we make downward trades all the time. It's better to do this. Would you write into your notes there? Sometimes it's better to hear it is demote yourself back to humility. Demote yourself back to humility as often as you need to keep your heart pure. To keep your heart pure. Because you see, when you humble yourself, the Bible says, it protects your heart from going weird. It protects your heart from becoming proud or demanding that the world revolve around you or that your way of seeing things is the only way. It protects your heart. That's why Proverbs 4 says this. It says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Watch over your heart. And sometimes the best way to keep my heart from going funny is to just take a humble stance, and it protects my heart. You know why it's so important to do it as much as you need to, that humility, in order to keep your heart pure? Because what Matthew says, would you read this next scripture? It's an eye opener. Here it is. It says this. Read it with me. Go. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If my heart isn't right, my heart's not pure, he'll be around, but I won't see him at all. You got to keep a heart of purity. Jesus speaks about humbling in this next verse. And in Luke, let's read that together out loud. Go. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be. Yeah, keeping your heart pure and innocent is more important than anything else. And sometimes you have to humble yourself to just protect your heart. And in the end, the condition of your heart will be more important than the notoriety of your popularity, the condition of your heart. Then you'll be able to see God. I think that's why God speaks about children. He says, unless you be converted and become as a child, you'll not see or enter the kingdom of heaven. Because children's hearts are pure and they're innocent and they see God in everything. And the Lord is saying, yeah, the reason they can see me more and they're much more open in faith because their hearts have been purified. They're much more innocent. And as we grow, it gets calloused. When you hear his voice, don't harden or callous your heart. Keep it pure. And it may require you to develop a spirit of gratefulness, not just when things go good, but even when things aren't going well. It has nothing to do with circumstances. I just want to build a spirit of gratefulness. Does it mean that you won't go through tough times? Oh, you will. But when you grieve, the Bible says it won't be you grieving as one who has no hope. Sure, there'll be times I'll grieve because I'm human, but I'm still a person of gratitude and I'll be okay. I'll come through it. You watch. Because I don't grieve as one who has no hope. But if you have no gratitude, no gratefulness, you grieve and there's no end to it. Look for what you can be grateful for and it'll buoy you up. And it'll bring you back. But watch your heart. Keep your heart pure. And humble yourself as many times as you need to keep your heart pure. Because it's the pure in heart that'll see God. Let me tell you a little thing that happened just recently and why a video that you're about to see has impacted me so much. When I was in junior high and high school, to make money, you know, I left Palolo Valley. We went to Japan for 3 years, and I moved to Oregon. My mother and dad got a divorce, and so split our family up, and I went to Oregon. And in the summers, to make money, I hired myself out to these farms and during the haying season, the hay baling season, June and July, and I would bale hay. We'd go out in the field and cut the hay and then bale it and then stack it in the barns and feed cows and horses. And I just enjoyed that time. And so my daughters live on a little farm in Oregon. I like going up there and doing that stuff because it reminds me of a simpler day, and it kind of brings me back to sanity. And so I return here partially sane. And so those are just fun things for me. I enjoy. Some people want to go sit on a beach in Cancun or whatever. I'd rather go work, you know, on a farm, and it's better for me. So, we only had a couple of Angus cows there, and one of them was it was a heifer. One's a steer, and one's a heifer. Steer is a boy cow that's on his way to be butchered. The heifer is a female lady cow, and. The very last day before I came back here this Thanksgiving, I was out feeding the cows early in the morning, 7 o'clock, 40-some degrees, 50 degrees, and I went out to feed, and just one came, the other one didn't. I thought, uh-oh, something's wrong. So quickly I looked out, and she's only about a year and a half old, and I saw her out in the field laying down. I thought, uh-oh, something's wrong. So I rushed out there. And I didn't even know she was pregnant. She was giving birth to a calf. It was halfway out, half still in the canal, but the calf was dead. She didn't have enough strength to push the calf out. And she must have been in labor at 3 a.m. and labored, and she was too young to give birth. She must have got impregnated somehow, because we had some other cows in there before. And so anyway, she just couldn't do it. Her pelvic area wasn't large enough, and she started to hemorrhage. So I pulled the calf out. It was already dead, and she was just that close to dying. So we quickly called the vet, and we gave her some calcium and some liquids to try, because we thought it might be hypoglycemic. And so we just did everything we could to keep her alive. Now, I had to get on the plane. And so when I landed here, though, my daughter called me and said, she didn't make it either. So they both died. It took me a few days to just get out of that, because I thought, if I would have known she was pregnant, and if I would have known she was giving birth, I could have been there to help this. It's called, it's just a difficult birth. And so I felt terrible. Anyway, a few days later, a friend of mine sent me this video, and you can see why it'll be in just a moment, why it's so poignant. But it's a story about a little kid, 13 years old, named Logan. Logan went through something similar, and he calls the radio station and shares with them something. Just a wise young man. Because you see, I'm thinking about mine. I mean, when that cow was on its side, I laid hands on it. I prayed for it, said, God, heal this cow. And she died anyway. And so it just kind of lets you down a little hard. And so this was sent, and it's a message about hearing God regardless of the circumstances. It's a pretty powerful little clip. Let's take a look.
Hey, Mike, can I talk to you?
You bet, Logan. What's up?
I want to tell you something that God just told me.
Okay.
Last night, my dad was roping this calf, and this calf had been born from a really old cow. She didn't have really the greatest milk. She didn't have, like, the vitamin C and stuff.
Okay.
Hold on. Mom?
So cute. I guess his mom's talking to him.
I'm talking right now. I'll be up in a second. But sorry about that. But anyway, she broke her back. And this morning I went out and put her down myself. I was talking to God. I was asking God why. She was special. And God said, you know, Logan, my son was special, but he died for a purpose. It's kind of the same thing. That calf was close to me, and God's son was close to him.
Logan, you're so right. It's true. Think you're gonna be okay?
Yeah, I'll be fine. But I just wanted to tell you guys that is so important. Just remember, when you lose a loved one or a pet, always remember that God gave his son too, and he understands. He will always understand. He will always just run to him.
Logan, you're wiser than you know, buddy.
Oh, sometimes I don't think I'm wise. Trust me, I've done a lot of stupid stuff. But I've learned from it.
Yeah, but see, buddy, that's what makes you wise. Somebody that learns from their mistakes.
Oh, I just figured I'd better call and share with you guys. Love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Gratitude conditions our eyes to see Him, and it keeps our hearts pure because it's the pure in heart that see God. Otherwise, we'll be a part of religious stuff and you won't see Jesus. You'll see religious things and programs and activities and church. But God never said religious activities and church will win the world. He said He would. He never said church programs would bring forgiveness. He said He would. People need to see Jesus. And so, as we begin to recognize Him, it changes us. It'll change them too. Gratitude will condition our eyes to see Him afresh. We're going to take communion in closing because one of the first places to begin a spirit of gratitude, to cultivate that, is at the cross. Not, God, what are you going to do for me? It's, Lord, thank you for what you've already done. 2,000 years ago. That's where it begins. You miss that, you miss everything else. You got to catch that. And that's why the Lord institutes this beautiful sacrament of communion, because He says, as oft as you do this, remember me. Because that sets the stage for everything else. You miss that, everything else is moot. And so we want to take that as the communion cup and the bread to say, Lord, thank you for the blood that you shed and your body that was broken for me. And that helps me to develop a spirit of gratitude, regardless of what happens. Because what you've already done is more than enough. Ushers, would you come down at this time? And they're going to pass out to you a piece of bread and a cup. And if you would take one of each and hold on to it, it'll go throughout the auditorium. And then when we're done, we'll take it together as an ohana, as a family. So ushers, as you come down, go ahead and just begin passing out both the bread and the cup. Go right ahead, pass them on. Yeah, please. So that God can condition our eyes to begin seeing Him again. Think about what He said. The importance of sometimes letting go of rights so that we can take a hold of that which is right. And sometimes in God's silence, He's building a gem called commitment. That's the only way it'll be built, no other way. But to cultivate a spirit, not a response of gratitude, but a spirit of gratitude regardless. And then we begin to see. It protects our hearts. For blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Lord, thank you for this cup that represents the blood that you shed for us. And the bread represents the body, your body that was broken for us, for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we could develop a spirit of gratitude in all things, to give thanks for what you've done is more than enough. Everything else is icing on the cake. So Lord, would you teach us to be a people who practice gratitude in our everyday lives, to speak words of gratitude, so that we can keep our hearts protected from callousness and blindness, because it besets Christians more than anybody else. So Lord, I pray that as we take this, you will open the eyes of our hearts afresh to see not just church stuff, but to see you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Go ahead and take the bread and the cup. Let's stand together as we conclude. Lord, thank you for your grace. Help us to be a people whose hearts are pure so that we can see you everywhere. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you thank him? Go ahead. Lord. Lord, thank you for opening our eyes. The eyes of my heart, Lord.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Seeing and Hearing Again by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. We invite you to visit our website where you'll find more helpful resources from Pastor Wayne, including his messages on podcast. That web address is www.enewhope.org. Again, that's enewhope.org. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.